Chapter 41. Fingers over. I am glad he is of high rank, said Mira, with her usual quietness. Now, why are you glad of that? Said Amy, rather suspicious of this sentiment, and on the watch for Jewish peculiarities which had not appeared. Because I have always disliked men of high rank before. Oh, Mr. Deronda is not so very high, said Kate. He need not hinder us from thinking ill of the whole peerage and baronetage if we like. When he entered, Mira rose with the same look of grateful reverence that as he had lifted to him the evening before. Impossible to see a creature freer at once from embarrassment and boldness. Her theatrical training had left no recognizable trace. Probably her manners had not much changed since she played the forsaken child at 9 years of age, and as he had grown up in her simplicity and truthfulness like a little flower seed that absorbs the chance confusion of its surrounding into its own definite mold of beauty. Deronda felt that he was making acquaintance with something quite new to him in the form of womanhood. For Mira was not childlike from ignorance. Her experience of evil and trouble was deeper and stranger than his own. He felt inclined to watch her and listen to her, as if as he had come from a far-off shore inhabited by a race different from our own. But for that very reason he made his visit brief with his usual activity of imagination. As to how his conduct might affect others, he shrank from what might seem like curiosity, or the assumption of a right, to know as much as he pleased of one to whom he had done a service. For example, he would have liked to hear her sing, but he would have felt the expression of such a wish to be rudeness in him, since she could not refuse, and he would all the while have a sense that she was being treated like one whose accomplishments were to be ready on demand. And whatever reverence could be shown to woman, he was bent on showing to this girl. Why? He gave himself several good reasons, but whatever one does with a strong unhesitating outflow of will as a store of motive, that it would be hard to put into words. Some deeds seem little more than interjections which give vent to the long passion of a life. So Deronda soon took his farewell for the 2 months during which he expected to be absent from London, and in a few days he was on his way with Sir Hugo and Lady Malinger to Lubrin. He had fulfilled his intention of telling them about Mira. The baronet was decidedly of opinion that the search for the mother and brother had better be let alone. Lady Malinger was much interested in the poor girl, observing that there was a society for the conversion of the Jews, and that it was to be hoped Mira would embrace Christianity. But perceiving that Sir Hugo looked at her with amusement, she concluded that as he had said something foolish. Lady Malinger felt apologetically about herself as a woman who had produced nothing but daughters in a case where sons were required, and hence regarded the apparent contradictions of the world as probably due to the weakness of her own understanding. But when she was much puzzled, it was her habit to say to herself, "I will ask Daniel." Deronda was altogether a convenience in the family. And Sir Hugo too, after intending to do the best for him, had begun to feel that the pleasantest result would be to have this substitute for a son always ready at his elbow. This was the history of Deronda, so far as he knew it, up to the time of that visit to Lubrin in which he saw Gwendolyn Arleth at the gaming table. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.